Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. I've told you many times how much I appreciate these men and the help that they've been to me in preparing and delivering messages. This has just been an absolutely all-consuming time in the ministry here, and I have so needed the help. They've been taking these Bible studies for us each week. And we're going to change it up a little bit today. I'm bringing this Bible study, and I'll bring the message, Lord willing, and then Brother Luke is going to bring the message to us this evening. And I'm glad that it worked out this way, because the two portions of Scripture that I want us to look at today very much go hand in hand. I'm glad that they're going to be one after the other one. This is not a part one and a part two, but you're going to see this is very much two sides of the same coin. Very much. What I want to look at for the Bible study is denying self. And what I want to look at for the message is confessing Christ. Denying self and confessing Christ. We're going to use these two verses for our Bible study text. Matthew 10, verse 38 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Now, our Lord expounded on that a little bit in Matthew 16. Turn with me, if you would, over to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And then he went on to say, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" He said, whoever finds his life. That's what he said in Matthew 10. And here he said, saves his life. That's what he means. Saves his life. Shall lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, the Lord said, shall find it, shall save it. Now, what does that mean? To put it simply, it means this. Finding or saving our life is not denying ourselves, not taking up our cross, and not following Christ. That's finding our life or trying to save our own life, okay? Losing our life is denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Christ. He said, the one who does not deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Christ will not be saved. And the one who does deny himself or herself and does take up his or her cross and follows Christ will be saved. I want to be saved. You want to be saved. You're here because you want to be saved. So do you know what hearing that makes us want to do? This is what it makes us want to do. It makes us want to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. All right, now, what does that mean? What does that mean? What is denying self, taking up the cross, and following Christ? Well, the word deny means that when you look it up in the concordance, the Bible dictionary, this is what it means. And this is good, all right? It means to deny utterly, to disown, to abstain from. It's to have no acquaintance or connection with. It's to forget. It's to lose sight of self. Does that make sense? Whoever denies self, denies utterly, disowns, abstains from, has no acquaintance or connection with, forgets, loses sight of self. In false religion, the way that you can tell it's a false religion, this is just clear as crystal. In false religion, the way you can know it's a false religion is people are very acquainted with, they have a very clear view of self. It's all about self. It is all about me. The whole thing. It's all about me. Everything's looking to me. How do I see me in it? It's all me, self, self. My salvation's all about me. What I'm doing, what I need to be doing, that is finding self. Whoever finds self. But the Lord said the soul that's going to be saved is the soul that loses self, utterly denies self, disowns self, has no acquaintance, no connection with the works of self, because he or she is not even looking to self. There's no line of sight at all to the works of the flesh of self. All right, now, there is a line of sight to the flesh of self. But what God's people see in self, that's what makes God's people want to take up the cross. There is a line. We do see self. We're not looking to self, but we do see ourselves. And that's what makes us want to deny ourselves. It's because of what we see in ourselves. That's what makes us want to take up our cross. God's people see sin in themselves. Don't you? I do. God's people see, when they look at self, when they do get a clear line of sight to self, they see no good thing in themselves. They see no ability to do any good thing. In false religion, they're always saying, come on now, you can do better. In the truth, everybody's saying, no, I can't. No ability to do any good thing. When God's people see themselves, this is what they see. Utter loss. They see the loss of connection and communication with God. Don't you just feel so in the flesh, just so disconnected from God? The only way our connection could be reinstated with God is by His Spirit. This flesh is just dead. That's what it is. But God's people see the loss of spiritual life in their flesh, in themselves. They don't see anything worth saving. Nothing worth saving. This is what they say. Throw it away. Get rid of it. Just lose it somewhere. It's not worth anything. It's not worth anything. People say, now, wait a minute. Are you talking about the life that you lived on this earth? You're saying it's not worth anything? you'll hear there are songs that on the radio that talk about, you know, there's a little bit of good in everybody. You're telling me there's nothing in the life that you have lived worth anything to God? God doesn't see anything worth saving in it. Not only does God not see anything worth saving in it, I don't either. It's not worth anything. This is what I say. This is what all God's people say. The imagination of my mind is only evil continually. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. My hands and my feet are swift to shed blood. Oh, the proud look that comes from the lust of my eyes. Oh, the fires that are kindled from this lying, stammering, wicked tongue. Throw it all out. It's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. God denies it, and I do too. God denies it, amen. That's what it is to deny self. And if we deny self, we have no choice but to take up our cross. What does that mean exactly? Well, who deserves a cross? Who were crosses made for? Who exactly deserves to go to a cross? Don't turn, but Luke 23 calls Barabbas and the two men that were with him malefactors. And that word means wrongdoers. It means criminals. It means sinners. Who deserves a cross? Sinners do. To just touch on, you know, we're going to look at confessing Christ, okay? To just touch on confessing Christ for a minute. Christ went to the cross for sinners. Christ hung there in the place of, in the stead of sinners. Why did he go to a cross? Because he went to the place where sinners had to go. If I believe that I'm an absolute sinner, if I truly believe I'm a sinner, then this is what I'll say. Where's my cross? That's what I deserve. If a man or a woman takes up his or her cross, then this is what he or she is saying about himself or herself. Okay, this is what they're saying. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? What he's saying is, why have you gone back to the law? That's what he's saying. Why are you not following Christ, who is the truth? He's the truth. The truth was evidently set before you. Why are you not looking to Christ and Him crucified? That was plainly, clearly set before you. Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What he's saying is, did you receive the peace of God's Spirit? And the rest and the assurance of salvation that comes from God's Spirit. Did you receive that peace and that rest through you fulfilling the law? Or through hearing how Christ fulfilled it for you? Which one brought the peace of the Spirit to you? Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What he's saying is, if Christ finished the work, why are you trying to go back and do it again? Did he finish? Did he just start the work for you to finish it? Or? Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, that means the preacher that God sent to deliver the message to you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? What he's saying is Abraham just looked to Christ. That's all Abraham did. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Our Lord said, Abraham saw my day. So he said, verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In your seed, that's Christ. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Watch verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. As many as are trying to be saved and go to heaven based on doing what the law says to do, they are under the curse. And here's the reason why. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You break one, that's it, you're cursed. I have broken one. I break one, I don't know, every 10 seconds. You know, some people say, well, I sinned twice last week. I sinned twice in the last 10 seconds. Verse 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. The just shall live by looking at Jesus Christ. Anytime you see that word faith, almost in all accounts, you can substitute faith for Christ. Faith is of Christ, by Christ, to Christ. Let's read verse 11 again. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident, for the just shall live by Christ. Verse 12 says, and the law is not of Christ, of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in him. If you're not holding to Christ, but you're holding to the law, then, buddy, you better hold to every single one of them. Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made. This is where the peace and comfort and assurance of the Spirit comes from. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, now watch this, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. If a man takes up his cross, or if a woman takes up her cross, what he or she is saying is, I'm cursed. In my flesh, I'm under the curse. The curse of sin and death. The law says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Then give me my tree. Give me my cross. Because in this sinful flesh, I'm nothing but cursed. I deny me. I'm dead to me. Give me my cross. I'm dead to me. Cursed. This is one of the greatest examples in the Scripture that I know of that declares what it is to deny self, to take up our cross, and to follow Christ, to look to Christ, to trust in Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul denies himself. That's what he's doing right there. He acknowledges himself for what he is. He said, I'm a ruined sinner. In 1 Timothy 1, he said, I'm the chief sinner. Sold under sin. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. I just don't know why. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And what he's saying is, and he's about to explain this, but there's a new man created in him, fighting with an old man. And that new man wants to be just like Jesus. That new man is Jesus Christ. Christ in us is the hope of glory. But he says in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. He said, I keep breaking the law, but I acknowledge the law is good and I'm not. Verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but it's sin that dwells in me. I have a heart to be like Christ and I don't want to do the stuff that I do, but I'm infected with sin. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And I've said it so many times, but this is God's apostle. If he's saying this, how much more me? Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You know, you talk about, well, I sin every. If you do something that your mind says, well, that was good, sin. Pride. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after that inward man, that new man that has been created in the image of Christ. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, this is what he has to say about himself. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I deny myself and I take my cross. Now here's following Christ. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, our Lord told us that there's going to be two different types of people in this world. All right? There are going to be those who read that and say, that's me. Like as you read this to people, and you're going to have some who read this and just know, that's me. Those who read that and say, that's me. If that is me, you know, the flip side is some are going to read it and say, that's not me. No, that's not me. All right. Those who read it and say, that's me. If that's me, then this is what I'm saying. I deny myself before God. I deny my works. I deny my right. I deny my anything. Just name something. I deny it. I take the cross of dying to myself. This is a body of death. In my flesh, I am dead. I'm dead to me. Our Lord said, if that's you, then Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is for you. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after this flesh, but after the Spirit. But if I look at that and I say, no, that's not me. No, I plead my works. And I plead my right. I don't deny myself. I don't slay myself. Our Lord said, then I will deny you. If you don't deny yourself, he said, I will deny you and I'll slay you. How we respond to this is going to show an evidence of what God has done for us and in us. And I do want to say that if anyone, me or anybody, reads that and says, I can't see myself in that, beg the Lord to reveal yourself to you. Honestly, when the Spirit comes, the first thing he convinces of is sin. I'm telling you, God's people are not faking it. They're not putting on a show. They're not trying to pretend to be sinners. Buddy, they are sinners. And they know they're sinners. And if God has not revealed that to any of us, beg Him, Lord, reveal the truth of myself to me. Let me see what you see. Because that's the only thing that's going to matter. I have to go stand before you in truth. Don't let me, in the lie of myself, think I'm coming ready and worthy and be shocked in that day. Every soul who denies himself, all right, this is the evidence. That soul was denied with Christ. If I deny myself, here's the evidence. That's the evidence of the fact that I was denied in Christ. I was slain in Christ. This same man right here, Paul, this is what he said. I was crucified with Christ. I was denied and I was slain in Christ. Every soul who denies himself, that's the evidence that that soul was denied and slain in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the evidence of it. But every soul who does not deny himself, that's the evidence that that soul was not denied and slain in Christ. And that soul's still going to have to be denied and slain outside of Christ. Oh, may that not be us. Lord, help us. Please, may we plead Christ. Follow Christ, confess Christ. The soul who does that is going to be saved. Now, if the Lord is willing, we're about to look at what it is to confess Christ. All right? This is what it is to deny self. But the Lord willing, we're going to look at what it is to confess Christ. But let me just leave us with this, okay? This is just good advice. If the Lord has very graciously caused us to deny ourselves and with this taking up our cross, die to ourselves. If we can say, I'm dead to me. Before God, I'm dead to me. If He has put that heart and desire in us, then let's carry that humility, that lowliness, all the way through the rest of our days on this earth before each other. If He's put that in us before God, I'm dead to me. I deny me, I die to me. Then let's carry that on before each other. Okay, let me read this little article to you and we'll close with this. This is called Dying to Self. It was written by a man named Bill Britton. But he said, and this is, again, this is just in daily life now with each other. He said, when you are forgotten or neglected or purposefully set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy, counting it worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any unpunctuality, or any annoyance, when you can stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as the Lord Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, or any interruption by the will of God, that's dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that's dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy, nor question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstance, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself, and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. And then he said, are you dead yet? In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross, that I may know Him being made conformable to His death. May the Lord calls us to die to ourselves before God and die to ourselves before each other. All right, you're dismissed.